guy, but you'll never break this heart of mine.
Welcome, everyone. We'll begin our meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, if everyone would stand with us, if you can.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Thank you. Commissioner Lynn.
Here.
Commissioner Maynard.
Here.
Commissioner Miller.
Here.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
Chair Fuller.
Here.
Thank you.
Now we'll have the public forum. If there is any member of the public who would like to speak on any item that is not on tonight's agenda, this is your opportunity. Seeing no one coming forward, do we have any, Madam Clerk?
No, Chair Fuller.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll close that portion of our meeting. Staff, are there any amendments or adjustments to our agenda?
There are no amendments or adjustments.
Madam Clerk, would you read our first item?
Item A1 is the administrative agenda, Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of April 23rd, 2018.
Does anyone want to make a motion?
I'll move to adopt the minutes for that meeting.
I'll second.
Anyone have any corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Next item.
Item A2 is the Joint City Council Planning Commission minutes for the special Joint City Council Planning Commission meeting of April 26, 2018.
Does anyone want to make a motion on that?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Sound like a tie.
I'll second.
Corrections or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nay? Opposed? All right. Unanimous. Madam Clerk, next item, please.
Item B is a discussion action item, the general plan conformance findings for the capital improvement program, fiscal year 2018 through 2019.
And we have a staff presentation. Please.
All right. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. Of course, you just heard the title of our item tonight. Every year we do, we look at our capital improvement program list of projects, and we look at our general plan and do an analysis and identify if those CIPs are consistent with the general plan. And that needs to be done before the budget is adopted by the City Council, which has to be done before July 1st. So that's why we're here tonight. A couple administrative things. You did get a letter, and that's on the dais in front of you. You also got some replacement sheets for the resolution that's in your staff report packet with it says revised 2118. So we're going to, when we go through the PowerPoint, James Winslow, who's with the engineer at Public Works, will walk you through what changed and also the kind of highlight what new projects were added this upcoming fiscal year. There were six. But not to steal his thunder, so he can explain which six ones those are. Okay, so let's see. The capital improvement program is our budgeting and strategic planning tool that we use to meet the infrastructure needs of the community. And I wanted to kind of emphasize that point, that what that CIP is doing. So the CIP in total is looking at the land use element and the build out that's allowed in our general plan, and is addressing the needs. And so cumulatively together, That's, we come back to you and say, here, we're just making sure that we're not digressing and doing something that is not part of what our general plan was envisioning to meet the needs, the infrastructure needs of our community. We reviewed, staff reviewed, so public works staff and planning staff work together to go through the list every year meticulously. We don't look at the list as, oh, we already looked at those last year. We relook at everything, and then we look at, see, and compare them, and we find them, and we did find them in conformance with our general plan, as you see in the attachment in your staff report. And I probably neglected to mention that Teresa Lopes from Public Works is here in the audience, and she helped a lot with the packet and the PowerPoint. And we also have our new Public Works Director, Charlie Ebeling, and he's also here in the audience and participated in this process as well. So you have a good, solid team that is supporting you tonight as you go through the findings that we have recommended for you. Again, this is a requirement under, besides just being good planning practice, it's a requirement under Government Code Section 65401. That you find that CIP list in conformance with the general plan. And so with that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to James Winslow, and then he's going to take you through not every one of these projects, because it's a lot of projects. It's, how much is your CIP worth? Like
over $250, $300 million.
Mm-hmm. So these are a lot of projects. And so he's going to hit some of the high points and then some of the new ones so that you can see where we're headed with this, and then you can take questions along the way, or you can bundle them and wait till the end, or both, and we're just happy to be here to be able to answer your questions.
Thank you, Ms. Wells. Chair Fuller, commissioners, members of the public, my name is James Winslow in the Public Works Capital Improvement Program, called CIP. You'll hear us refer to that term. And as Advanced Planning Manager Wells mentioned, we are here to primarily for the general plan conformancy. However, we're also going to give you a high-level view of some of our projects. It's basically a summary of a few of them, nowhere near the 60 or so projects we have in our capital improvement program. And again, I want to give thanks to Teresa Lopes, another senior project manager, engineer in Public Works, along with my colleague, and our new director, Charlie Ebeling. So with that being said, construction phase, we typically give you a highlight of the projects in construction right now. And at this time, we have one project in construction. We have a lot of projects that are in design and particularly big studies, and you'll see that as we go through. And a lot of those that are in design and studies will not go to construction, but a lot of them in design will be coming very soon to construction. So currently we have Old Town Park, the Hollister Kellogg Park is in construction as of today. Notice to proceed went out. Very timely. And it is on north of Hollister, east of Kellogg, along San Jose Creek. It also includes, in addition to the park component, there is also the bike path component that was an alternative in the bid options that we went forward with and authorized that will construct the bike path along the eastern side of the park, west of the creek, San Jose Creek, up to Armitos. Projects in engineering, absolutely.
I'm going to interrupt really quick because I just realized that when we set these slide presentations up, we're really focused on this upcoming year. So this is not a reflection backwards because we're sticking to what the government code is asking of you tonight. But when we said one project under construction, there are projects that are finishing up construction or were completed in this current fiscal year. And based over the years, as we've been doing these annual reports with you, we found that it was helpful to include the completed projects at the end of the table that's attached to your staff report. So that gives you a little context as to why we include those, because that has been a request of commissioners over time. And it's a good looking back and getting kind of a thumbnail of what we've done and where we've been and where we're headed. So I just wanted to point that out so that it didn't look like the Old Town Park is the only thing going on in Goleta, because I think you know there's a lot more than that.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Wells. Yeah, the ones we've wrapped up that's on your big page 21 would include the Magnolia Sidewalk South, basically south of Hollister, the Ward Memorial Class 2 bike lanes, the Hollister Class 1 bike path that's out in western Goleta on the south side, the big bike path, as well as the Cathedral Oaks landscaping project, amongst a few others as well. And those are in the final stages of wrapping up, or completely done, or have wrapped up. In terms of in design, engineering, or the planning phase, we have a significant number of projects. And again, we're just going to show kind of the highlight a few of them tonight. And we're happy to take questions whenever you'd like to interrupt. First thing we want to highlight tonight is the Hollister redesign project, also known as Complete Streets. This is the project on Hollister Avenue between Fairview to Avenue to the West and Ward Memorial Drive, or 217 on the east, as seen in the lower bottom corner of image. And include, right now we've done the initial studies, initial analysis, and we have three alternative or options that have gone through Planning Commission, Council, and the public presentations. Those will be narrowed down through the public process and through Public Works team identifying the recommended preferred alternative, and then once that's selected, that'll come back through the steps in the process to move forward. And then we will be preparing the corridor, the draft corridor plan, so that'll come back to Planning Commission in the future. Equal Street Extension is the extension project from Kellogg to Fairview, as you can see on the map. That has recently received the Coastal Commission approval, which is a big hurdle for us, and we are moving forward with the final design and the right-of-way negotiations. So we're very excited for that one to be moving forward. Yeah. San Jose Creek South in Middle, it's the bike path. We're combining them for a grant purpose for active transportation this round, we're recommending. Again, one segment, the segment along the Kellogg Park will be constructed with the Kellogg Park project up to Armitos. And then the remaining segment under 101, as well as the segment heading south towards the city limit where 217 bridge is, the off-ramp there and kind of connecting to the Oberon Trail is the southern extent of that project. That is under preliminary design and we'll be moving forward with, we're submitting recommending submitting a grant application for ATP for that one as a combined south and middle project. It really completes a gap in the network. If you're not aware, the county will have a ribbon cutting on the 30th for the north San Jose Creek North project. The bridge is in and done, which is up Meridia and crosses over to the tennis courts on Kellogg. And then also this connects, of course, to the Oberon Trail and Goleta Beach. So it's really a regional connectivity and we think a really strong ATP project. Out in western Goleta, we have a building, Fire Station 10. This is in the design phase, preliminary engineering design. The draft environmental document has been completed. It was advertised or put out for the public review and comment for draft comments in the public comment period, I think last Thursday. And we'll be coming back to Planning Commission, I believe June 14th, to after the 30-day public comment period. And then that will move forward with the next stages of design and environmental as needed. We have the 101 overcrossing out in western Goleta. As you can see on the map, call out, this is the 101 east-west in this location. We have Stork, Glen Annie interchange. We have the Winchester Canyon or Cathedral Oaks interchange and the proposed overcrossing approximately in the middle around Elwood or Entrance Road. There are three alternatives that have been vetted throughout this process, and we're moving forward with continuing preliminary engineering to be able to select a preferred alternative for one of those. Old Town Sidewalk infill. This is near and dear to my heart, one of my projects. It is completing one sidewalk on one side of every street north of Hollister. So from Hollister Avenue on the north side, the residential area, basically from Fairview, South Fairview, the spur, over to Mallard. Again, sidewalk on one side, completing the connectivity for path of travel for ADA. and as well as a section of Pine Avenue south towards San Jose Creek, where then it will connect with the Elwood Street extension. There's a roundabout proposed for there, planned for there. And so that will also fill in a gap, a network and sidewalk infill, as well as connectivity to other capital improvement program projects that we're doing. And that is in the design and right-of-way phase with anticipated construction late in 2019. Another project, this is the Bicycle and Pedestrian Master Plan. I believe Clean Planning Commission saw this a few months ago. And it is in the nearing the final stages. We have draft chapters 1 through 5. We have put them out on the website for public comment. And we are we'll be gathering all those comments, synthesizing them together and making edits, and then bringing that back to the public for workshops, as well as Planning Commission, and then to Council for adoption later this fall. Rancho La Patera improvements. This is a proposed project to install restrooms, fire line to the park, Lake Los Caneros area, as well as expanding the parking lot. This is a needed project for the high use that is at Rancho La Patera and Lake Los Caneros Park.
I will point out that also on the dais is a comment from Steve Verry on, I think, pertaining to this item. And anyways, I wanted to make sure that you're aware of that. There may be also a speaker slip. Okay. I just want to make sure.
Could we have the staff's, sorry, I shouldn't jump in. Is that okay?
Yeah, we can wait till the speaker says their part, and then we can discuss that. Thank you.
Well, the process for this one will be to go through the preliminary engineering, the environmental phase, determine the alternatives, what is required, what's needed, any mitigations that might be required. That has not been done, to my knowledge, at this point, and we'll be going through that process in the future. Again, these are all design and preliminary engineering projects phase. And happy to address questions. I know we'll have some on that one, so we'll come back. Amtrak Depot. This, if you're not familiar, the city is in the process of acquiring the Goleta Amtrak station, which is at the end of South La Patera Lane. It's the former Direct Relief International building. They have moved down a couple blocks and have that new construction there on east on Hollister. We just secured the Public Works teams and some outside consultants, along with SBCAG took the lead. They were the co-submitter on the grant application. Transit and intercity rail capital program grant for about $12.5 million with potentially another few thousand dollars, $100,000 of planning funds. So the total project cost for that is about $20 million. So $12.5 million in grants from TIRCP is really a great thing for us, and we're looking forward to being able to use that to go forward with the preliminary design engineering right away and eventually get to construction with that project. If you're not aware, there's been a significant usage of the train after the retiming on April 2nd and the SBCAG Traffic Solutions free 10-pack of passes and usage, and their numbers they're seeing are higher than they anticipated already. So I think they're about 150 daily, average daily traffic, and they weren't anticipating to hit that until the end of the year. So they are very excited about the use of the train. And MTD has jumped on board, and they've got routes going east and west from the train depot to get commuters east towards Cottage Hospital along Hollister and then west out towards Marketplace. So we're really thrilled about that project and the benefits to our community that we're already seeing from that, and looking forward to the future benefits from a new depot. We have a bunch of PED crossings in Goleta that we've got some grant funding for. I'm highlighting the rectangular rapid flashing beacon project, improvements that are at the school zone crossings. We have 3 school zone crossings, as you can see on the map, that are located or identified in red. two out in the Brandon School area on Cathedral Oaks, and another one just west of Santa Margarita, where we already put in 2013-14, a rectangular rapid flashing beacon at Santa Margarita. We're installing another one at Carlo Drive. And so those three locations, in addition to the existing one, will provide some much-needed pedestrian crossing improvements to locations that are already used heavily by students north-south, going from the residential areas to the schools. We have additional pedestrian hybrid beacons being proposed at other locations on Hollister at Chapel. Kyrielle at Kingston is pedestrian hybrid beacon, rapid flashing beacon at Hollister and Chapel, as well as some other locations on Cathedral, Kyrielle near the Fairview Center, Cajun Kitchen area. So, and those are on the list as well. I'd like to hit a few of the new projects that we've added to the list this year. So what we've already covered were on the list in the past. So those are ones you've already seen last year. We mixed up some of the ones in terms of what we highlighted potentially, but everything we've talked about and everything on the list up to this point was approved by Planning Commission to have conformancy in previous years, primarily last year. The first new project that we're adding to the list is the GLIA Traffic Safety Study. This is a systemic safety assessment reporting program grant of $250,000 that we secured to look at and evaluate the corridors, the main east-west and north-south corridors in Goleta. And the primary goal of this would be to identify improvements that can be made to safety for all modes of users, vehicle, pedestrian, and bicyclists, skateboarders, you name it, but to identify areas where there's higher collisions, potential fatalities or serious injuries, and then have a couple of recommended projects that would come out of that and identified and be costed out for us as a cost estimate, preliminary cost estimate. The goal of this SSARP study that we'll have will allow us to go after future grants for Highway Safety Improvement Program. Some of the crossings I just identified are HSIP grants that the team has landed in the past, and we are now in design and construction or have built, such as the pedestrian hybrid beacon at the community center. If you're familiar with the one on Hollister, that was a highway safety improvement grant. This study will be able to point to and say, this is why we need this grant money to do these improvements, and we can point to that document. It really helps us to make the application a lot more complete and hopefully successful. More successful than we've already been, I would like to. Fairview Avenue Corridor Study. You may say, what is this? Didn't we already see this? You may recall, I was before Planning Commission last November, I believe, where we brought the Fairview Avenue Class 1 bike path as a amendment to the general plan conformance. We asked for your determination and finding of conformancy. You did. However, we've taken a real another look at that, and we're recommending changing that name, that project, to a corridor study. And the reasons why would be to really evaluate the entire corridor, how it integrates with the other streets around, how we do the connections at the end and the beginning, how we also incorporate coming out of the South Fairview, the students and residents coming out of Old Town, at this South Fairview, and I just blanked the street
Mandarin.
There. Mandarin, thank you, Ed, our chair puller. I know you live there. I know. I don't know why I blanked. Mandarin, as well as other potential options as a feasibility study. So we're trying to take a step back and say, let's look at this holistically, and that's going to be our approach. We still may recommend out of that process a class one through there, but at least we'll have a much better idea on what the design constraints will be and options and how to approach that. We'll have much more of a public input on it, and I think it'll be a much stronger project going forward as a result. So with your permission, we're recommending tonight, we're changing that and recommending a corridor study as a new project. So one you've already kind of seen, but it's a change. Another one I'd like to highlight, I kind of mentioned this earlier, this is Kyrielle, is kind of why I glossed over it earlier, is a pedestrian hybrid beacon recommended at the Fairview Center/Cajun Kitchen location. If you are not familiar with the area, this is Fairview Avenue, Kyrielle. There is the ramp you can see here that comes down from the overcrossing, Fairview overcrossing, comes down and exits here. We have the new Cajun Kitchen and a lot of pedestrians, users that go back and forth, you know, not just getting to work, to employment, to shopping, to food, but also students that use this route from Old Town to go to the junior high school or, you know, farther out to the high school. And so our recommendation would be to put in a pedestrian hybrid beacon, very similar, like I said, to the one we have at the community center on Hollister. And so this is one proposed location, again, a new project that we're recommending for your finding of conformancy. The last one I'd like to highlight as a new project is a roundabout. This has come up a couple times, I believe, when we did the bike ped initial presentation. I saw a thumbs up, thank you. Our consultant had, we added, when you saw that in November, we did have at the bottom right corner a roundabout on the Fairview Class 1. So we've taken this out. It was always going to be a future project. We've added it into our budget process and this conformancy finding. That is one of the big changes with the revised Exhibit 1 table that you will find is this Hollister Avenue roundabout. It's 9100, I believe, in your number on that list under the revised version. That is the big addition, the change. If I can go back to the traffic study. The traffic study also has the list on the right. The only other significant change to the document is the listing of general plan conformancy elements for this project. So those are the two changes between what has been published and what you were provided tonight in your Exhibit 1. So the roundabout, this is has a lot of elements of our transportation element in general plan that it conforms with. Don't want to highlight them all. This what really ties into, again, regional transportation. It is a significant intersection in our street system, our road network. It will tie into the complete streets redesign project that Ms. Lopes is working on, as you're familiar with. It'll help us going forward with any improvements along Fairview, both north and south. And I have been working with City of Santa Barbara on heading to the west in terms of potential opportunities for future grant applications for looking at ATP in terms of the Fairview north, south for regional connectivity, as well as class two bike lanes and sidewalks along Hollister, which is, of course, west of Fairview, all in the City of Santa Barbara. So it would be a joint application in the future with them that we could partner with. Those are four of the six new projects. The other two off the top of my head are the Orange parking lot, 9096 Orange Avenue parking lot, as well as the South Kellogg crosswalk, which is tied to, closely associated, in the same area, sorry, proximity to the Kellogg Park, which is why I didn't have a slide for it and show it. Those are the six new projects. We do have some parks projects, neighborhood services that are associated in the capital program grouping. We do assist neighborhood services with some of their projects, such as the Kellogg Park and others. The Parks Master Plan is a significant one. This is going to really identify all the needs for the parks, what is needed, improvements, future steps. Again, another master plan that will help the city planning document to use to point to prioritizing projects, as well as going after additional grant money for neighborhood services and their parks and open spaces. We have miscellaneous park improvement projects. Four parks have been identified, Winchester 1 and 2 out in western Goleta. Berkeley Park, which is over here north of Fairview area, and Andamar Park. Those are four that have already been in the budget, and they will be going forward with improvements this year for construction, playground, new playground equipment, as well as surfaces. That's what's being recommended in the proposed budget this year for those four parks. Evergreen Multipurpose Field. This is out in, again, Western Goleta. They are looking at adding in a multi-purpose field adjacent to Evergreen Drive, but there's the Frisbee Disc Golf Course out there. There's the tennis courts that were just resurfaced recently. We're looking at adding restrooms as well as facilities for improved active activities at that location. And that's in the preliminary engineering design phase. Back in Old Town area, we have the community garden. I believe you saw this last year as well. But they're moving, Neighborhood Services is moving forward with the potential site for the community garden. And this is located south of Armitos Avenue and along Kellogg Avenue, kind of above where the park is being constructed now. And so they're looking at a community garden for that neighborhood.
Excuse me, is there any other connection to that site from the future park, you know, the Kellogg Park? I mean, it doesn't really see it here. I guess there's going to be a bike path along the easterly edge that would also go by this potential site. So is there going to be like a pedestrian also, you know, access? I know there's a private parcel in between, so.
Correct, Chair Fuller. This is, the bike path will be along this area and go all the way up to Armitos, so mm-hmm. that will be a place where they can get through. The park is also here, so there is the sidewalk coming down off of Armitos into the park, and then I'm not sure the layout for the connection. We can certainly get back to you on that. We'd have Neighborhood Services give you a layout of what that plan might look like, but there is a way to get in from the parcel here that is the Armitos Park.
Right. Connection. So, but I'm not sure, trying to speak from memory, but okay. Armitos doesn't go through to the east?
Correct.
Right. So it's kind of dead end there, right? So, I mean, most people, you know, they've got to make an intention to go down Kellogg and make a right and buy all the industrial properties there. And so, you know, it'd be a more inviting access, you know, behind this one property, you know, to be able to access the Armitos Park and sort of tie it into the future park. Okay. Just a thought.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll pass that on. I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Wells for concluding remarks.
All right. Well, I hope that presentation was informational and that you got a better sense of where we're at with the process. If you were here last year or the year before, you can kind of track some of the bigger projects. They take longer in the design phase and environmental review phase, which is doing the job it's supposed to do, which is as you get a big project in particular, or even the small ones, it can take years sometimes to go through workshopping, environmental review, and then permitting. And so I wanted to emphasize that part of that process of project approval is policy consistency. So when the general plan says, for example, have more parks, and have more parks specifically in this area of the city because it's underserved, then we identify those parks, we bring it to you and as part of the CIP and show you the policy that suggests we need more parks in Western Goleta and therefore find that conformity. And then for other policy consistency, like whether or not there's noise or visual or biology, for example, that gets caught in the project review process. And then it kicks into alternatives. So they start looking at alternatives. And that's the way the system works. So that when, if there's something that is a barrier, it gets caught during that review process. And then the alternatives, that's exactly how it works. And you use your alternatives. And then hopefully we can work something out. Or if not, then we try somewhere else. And then you'll see something different the next year. So that that's the way it works. And also just want to emphasize that the CIP really, you see planning and public works here, but it's really a full city investment. The city manager's office, neighborhood services, even finance. I mean, finance is the big part is funding, and they are looking over, and that's what they do a lot of their time is monitoring our budget. So it the CIP is really kind of the core of service of what we're doing here at City Hall. And with that, I will stop.
If I may, so what you're talking about is we're just approving conceptual projects here, not actual projects in any way, shape, or form, but just conceptual ideas that these are what we would like to have in the city, and these are places where we can do it, and this is generally what we'd like to have, but this is just, you know, even well before, like, design or engineering or, you know, analysis.
Literally, is it something that's conceived in the general plan? For example, if we had in a CIP an annexation in Western Goleta, those agricultural fields forever, for example, it would not get, first of all, it wouldn't get past our group discussions. But let's say it did. Let's say there was, I don't know, got added in, someone typed it in at the last minute, and it came to you. You would say, well, there, you can't, because the general plan says you can only have a sphere of influence and propose any kind of future annexations consistent with a land use element map. And that is not consistent with the land.
It's very specifically
not consistent with the land use element. And so that would be an example of something that would be disallowed in the general plan by from the infrastructure aspect of a capital improvement program. So I hope that helps, gives a little bit of context as to the scale of what you're looking at. Also knowing that many of these projects you're going to see, or you've already seen, but you may be considering and providing input on the project in the future.
So this will be a good time for the planning commissioners to press their buttons if they'd like to ask questions of staff. Commissioner Miller.
I have a question kind of following up on the dialogue between between Ms. Wells and Chair Fuller, and that is, if I understand what you've told us, whatever action we take tonight on the CIP list doesn't mean we can't raise general plan conformance issues later when the project comes before us at various stages.
That's absolutely correct, and that's policy. That's called policy consistency, and that is something that we spend a lot of time with on our projects, is that policy consistency review. Yeah.
For example, if they at a particular project, if they found a raptor nest, even though we found general conformance tonight, we wouldn't be precluded from addressing that issue in terms of general plan conformance when it comes up to us specifically.
That's right. And our planning director might want to add to that now or later in this conversation. But for sure, when those kinds of things like raptor nests are caught as part of the project analysis, just there could be raptor nests on any of these capital improvement projects.
Chair and commissioners, I don't have much to add. I think that Ann and James have covered it well, and I think you understand the framework. Essentially, any project that moves forward would be subject to environmental review, and there's no way that something like a raptor nest would not be protected and avoided. So that would happen as a matter of course.
Okay. Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. And then just as a point of clarification, though, most of these capital projects, right, wouldn't necessarily come before us as a planning commission the same way a development would, correct? It would go through the normal environmental process if it's determined that that's required.
So the planning commission, in the way our zoning is currently written, is you do see the projects that require permits. So when we, Equifowler, for example, that project was permitted by the planning commission with a development plan. Elwood Trails project, like there's quite a few projects that go to the planning commission for permitting.
Okay, so depending on the permitting status of the project, got it.
But also for environmental review, don't we also judge on environmental review?
Yes.
Okay, so if there's an environmental review necessary, then we will see those projects as an environmental...
Correct. For projects that are subject to the Planning Commission's jurisdiction, you would review conformity with CEQA along with policy consistency. If a project was an approval that was that did not automatically go to the Planning Commission, then that review would happen at either at a lower level, potentially at a zoning administrator level, but it's still appealable to the Planning Commission.
Or a director level, right.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Commissioner Maynard?
So two questions, just a quick follow-up on that. So would the Rancho La Patera project come to Planning Commission?
So I'm not sure about Rancho La Patera because I think they're still in the design phase, and that's why I'm not sure. Because I understand from the city manager, for example, that there are a number of options that they're. Mm-hmm. I just happened to catch her as before this meeting. They're looking at design options such as just keeping some bare bones components of it and not a parking lot, and that's still under analysis. So I can't answer your question because they haven't locked down a preferred project to move forward with.
I have two follow-up questions on that, if it's permissible. So one, in some cases, like with the Bike Ped Master Plan, we sort of actively, as Planning Commission, said, hey, we really care about this and we'd really like to be involved with this. Can this come to us? Can we do that with the Rancho La Patera project?
I'm going to let Peter Imhoff answer that question because that's more of a policy request.
Yeah. It depends on the permit path, and typically no. Typically, the zoning ordinance itself would lay out and specify who the decision maker is. Mm-hmm. But again, any decision at a lower level, whether at a staff level or a zoning administrator, is subject to scrutiny through appeals. So we're very conscious of that as we go about our business, and we know that we have to get it right. And if we don't, then any member of the public can challenge that and move it forward.
Including a planning commissioner. Well, as a member of the public.
I suppose that's correct.
So I believe with the Bike Ped Master Plan, we had asked for it to be given to us as an update where we weren't a decision maker on it, but we could still weigh in, offer advice on it. Is that the sort of thing we could also do, or would we also have to take that to appeal to get that level of...
We can give you updates on particular projects, sure. Yeah.
For the record, I think it would be a great idea if the Rancho La Patera project came back to us once the design's complete. There's a lot of community excitement around this project, or I don't know. So, there's a lot of community concern. There's some energy around the project, I think is what I meant to say, as opposed to excitement. But there's community concern here, and I think as planning commissioners, it'd be good for us to weigh in, even if it's only as feedback. I had one other question on La Patera, if that's okay. So my last one is, could you tell us a little bit of the main goals of the La Patera project? There's some language in here about exactly there'd be this type of parking lot and this, but what are the objectives of the Rancho La Patera project?
Thank you, Chair Fuller, Commissioner Maynard. The main goal of the Rancho La Patera improvements is, I think, as I mentioned, clarifies additional parking. You know, there's the parking lot is pretty full. When in use, there's the train South Coast Railroad Museum there that uses that a lot. There's a lot of use of the Lake Los Caneros Park and trails there. And then the other main components are fire lines, extending the fire hydrants from existing location through into the park so that there is a fire line for fighting fire and access, as well as improved restrooms. Currently, there's no restrooms at the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And so that is one option that is in the design phase, is to add restrooms in the parking lot. And you can see on... I don't think they're listed on here. We have another layout that we can provide probably in the future when we come back.
And I think he just made the point, James just made the point that I was trying to make, that we're really truly in the design phase. True. And that I think you are right. We have heard a lot of comments about this. Mm-hmm. And reporting back to you with the staff that are in charge of the project is the best way to go, so you can... get your specific questions answered and get the public to understand where we're at. But to bring this back to our public facilities element, there are two policies that are very specific to expanding our facilities in our parks and with some general standards. And so from a conformity determination, what your action tonight would be if you said to approve the table that is amended with the resolution would simply be stating that improving Rancho Patera is allowed and envisioned in the public facilities element from these two policy concepts, perspectives.
And if I can piggyback on that, Ms. Wells said it's, again, design standards. Mm-hmm. We would do it all within the standard guidelines and our what's needed and required, and then, of course, working around any design elements or mitigations that might come out through that process. And we're just really in preliminary engineering phase and not at that point where we'd go to construction tomorrow. So.
And I saw some language about ADA in here. So are we not meeting our current designs, like our current standards in terms of ADA for this park?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that question.
Okay. Thank you.
It's not my project, so I will get back to you, please.
Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. And just changing the subject slightly, in terms of Old Town and looking at the Equil Extension project, I was just curious to know a little more about rough timeline, if anything, because I know that my understanding is that the Fowler portion is not funded, and so I just didn't know if anything had sort of, you know, changed with that.
Chair Fuller, Vice Chair Smith, you're absolutely correct to a certain degree. The Equal Street and Fowler Street extension projects have been partially separated. The current project is Equal Street, as you can see, going from Kellogg to Fairview. It is we've received our STIP funding back, our allocation back, and so with the Coastal Commission approval, we're moving forward with design and right-of-way currently, and construction would be in fiscal years 2020-2021, so a few years still out to get through the right-of-way negotiation process and the final design process now that we have the money reapportioned back to us through that process. If you recall, it was with the economic downturn, state took it away, and then they've reallocated it back to us. The Fowler Road is a new project on there, and that really is a future extension if it were to occur from across into Fowler, James Fowler Way, and Fairview Avenue, the corner there, Moffitt Place. And so that is a separate future project. But improvements along Fowler Road from Kellogg to Technology Drive, thank you, where Santa Barbara Airbus, that is part of the project still, so that turn would happen. Mm-hmm. So we've separated them out. And they'll be moving forward in future years.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from? Yes, Commissioner Maynard.
Thanks. So going back to the Fairview intersection, so we've reframed this to the corridor study, and then you've got the roundabout at Fairview and Hollister as well. So will the corridor study then come before the roundabout, or how do those two projects build on each other?
Chair Fuller, Commissioner Maynard, they'll be integrated together. So the corridor study is ahead. And again, as I said, it's got three alternatives, and we're working on the preferred alternative as a recommendation, as well as the draft corridor study/plan will be developed over the next coming months. The Hollister Ave roundabout is in before you today, because we're not done any work on it. This is a conceptual drawing, as you've seen. So again, we're asking for conformity with the general plan. It's a brand new project. We've not done any work aside from a conceptual sketch, a schematic here, as you will. And so once we determine conformity today, it will go through the council budget process. We're recommending adding it to that process, and then that'll be programmed funding-wise to go through the preliminary engineering design right away in construction. So it will follow after complete streets. And so therefore, depending on whichever alternative is selected and moves forward from the complete street study, then we'll help to tie in and how this will be designed and configured in the future. So they will dovetail together and based on the future layout for Hollister. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you very much. And then one other small question. In the Goleta traffic safety study, I understand that the focus will be on safety here, which is fabulous, so thank you for that. One question on it, would we also get a better sense? I know there's been a lot of conversation about what the traffic impacts cumulative have been across all the different projects. Will we get a better sense of just general traffic impacts from that study as well?
Chair Fuller, Commissioner Maynard, the traffic study really will focus on safety. So the focus is going to be on past history. I think believe the last 5 years or 10, history of collisions, fatalities, as well as near misses and avoidances. So traffic will play a role in terms of counts and numbers. So we'll have a better layout, I think, from all of our projects, as well as the development impact fee study. The traffic counts are all there and be consolidated into one. So I don't know if that answers your question. It's more focused on safety as opposed to vehicle counts. But we'll have a better handle on where the higher number the ADTs are, the higher traffic volumes.
Okay. Thank you very much for that clarification.
Any other questions from commissioners? Seeing none, we'll go to the public comment section portion of the meeting. And we have a request to speak from Mr. Ferry. And if anybody else wants to speak, if you could get a speaker slip from the clerk, we'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Ferry. I'm a member of the Conservation Committee of the Santa Barbara Audubon Society and a former co-president of Audubon. Tonight you are being asked to make a finding that of general plan conformance for the Goleta Capital Improvement Program FY 2018 to 2019. I believe that you cannot make such a finding. The reason is that one of the projects in the Capital Improvement Program does not conform to the general plan. This is the Rancho La Patera Improvements Project, project number 9078. Rancho La Patera is known by most residents as Lake Los Carneros Park. The project in question, proposes to remove eucalyptus trees and build a new parking lot east of the existing parking lot. The area proposed for the new parking lot is designated as Environmentally Sensitive Habitat Area, or ESHA. The ESHA designation for this area is shown on the city's map of special status species and environmentally sensitive habitat areas. The Goleta General Plan, paragraph CE 1.6, Protection of ESHAs, states, ESHAs shall be protected against significant disruption of habitat values and only uses or development dependent on and compatible with maintaining such resources shall be allowed within ESHAs or their buffers. Obviously, removing eucalyptus trees and putting in a parking lot would cause significant disruption of habitat values. In addition, subparagraph CE 1.6.D states that development may be allowed in ESHAs for public works projects as identified in the Capital Improvement Plan only when there are no feasible, less environmentally damaging alternatives. The city's plan for the Rancho La Patera Improvements Project not only does not mention ESHA at all, but it also does not mention any feasible, less environmentally damaging alternatives, of which there are many. On top of that, a Cooper's Hawk nest was recently discovered and is currently active right where the parking lot expansion would be if the project were built as proposed. General Plan Policy CE 8.4 on buffer areas for raptor species states that development shall be designed to provide a 100-foot buffer around active and historical nest sites for protected species of raptors when feasible. Obviously, no 100-foot buffer would be possible in this situation where the nest is right in the middle of the proposed parking lot. As I said, the Rancho La Patera Improvements Project violates two provisions of the general plan, protecting Esha and protecting raptor nests. This project does not conform to the general plan. The Planning Commission should remove Rancho La Patera Improvement Project, Project 9078, from its general plan conformance matrix. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ferry. Any other speakers? Seeing none, we close the public portion of the public comment portion of the meeting on that item. So in order to have a discussion, does anybody want to make a motion here? Like a motion to approve the capital improvement plan?
I'd like to hear a little deliberation before we get a motion in my...
I'll start out. Well, I wholeheartedly appreciate the Audubon's participation here. It sounds like it's a little early in the game, you know, to greatly appreciate their concerns and totally hope that they'll continue to participate in commenting on any projects that come here. But as we've been told, this is just a preliminary plan for the concept of improving the park at Rancho La Patera. And improving the park at Rancho La Patera is in conformance with the general plan from what we've been told. And there'll be more than, I hope, more than adequate time to consider any environmental issues with the project once it's been even scoped out and fully decided what might go there. So that's my take on that. I think we could still find for approving the capital improvement project list, and that it conforms to the general plan on the basis of it being a conceptual project's plan and list. Next, Commissioner Miller.
Just to follow up on, on your comments, I'd like to applaud the Audubon Society for coming to us. I think the second time they were here last year to raise these concerns, and no doubt they'll be here again when the project actually comes before us. But based on our colloquy with staff tonight, I'm satisfied that we will look at the specifics of the project in terms of whether it will affect Esha issues and raptor nest issues, and also the eucalyptus tree issue. So I'm satisfied we will have plenty of opportunity to make that examination, assuming that the project comes before us.
Right, well, if there's any environmental mitigation or environmental CEQA certification required, I believe we will be seeing it, so, and the public too. Yes, sorry, Commissioner Lynn, please.
Thank you. This project came before the Parks and Rec Commission when I was a member, and there were a couple of issues with this. One is the location of the restrooms, and additionally this eucalyptus grove. So I don't know if this thing needs to be reworded differently, you know, without trying to specify anything. I don't know. But I do think there are some issues there. And none of us were really excited about what was being proposed. So that's where I'm sort of uncomfortable with this. I think that there really is a need for more parking, and I don't want to make any speculation about buying additional land or having a lease agreement with the church or whatever. There's alternatives are alternatives. So I'm just uncomfortable, and I would like some feedback on what to do. Thank you.
Sure. Ms. Wells, please.
Thank you, Chair Fuller and Commissioners. When you take action tonight on this item, you're not taking action on the slide presentation, which was just trying to guide you in. It's just a visual tool so that you can conceptualize the project. It's literally just the list that lists out the name of the project, which doesn't even say parking lot. Mm-hmm. And then the policy, the environmental document, the status of the project, and the general plan policy. So that's your focus. So you're not specifically adopting that PowerPoint. And even if you did, that the project still is in the design phase. And we will, I think you heard the planning director said that we will return with so you will, one way or another, you're gonna hear the more information about this project, and probably on the sooner side than later. So I think we're in good shape as far as it returning to you. And then just clarifying again that it's not the scope, it's just the name, the La Patera Improvement Project.
And if it returns to us, it'll be returning to the public as well, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah. Commissioner Maynard?
First of all, I applaud Audubon and the public comment tonight. This is an incredibly well-researched letter, public comment letter, and so beautifully laid out. So thank you for this public comment. It really helped me to understand so many of the concerns that are existing around this project. I share a number of the concerns and look forward to the environmental impact report and the opportunities to get feedback. I also was quite excited that through the community public comment here, we've a number of recommendations, alternatives, and in some cases, no project or portions of it being no project alternatives were really nicely laid out, and I hope those are fully considered in EIR. One of the reasons I was asking about things like the ADA and such, I do note that in the PF 8.3E part of our general plan, it says, facilities shall be designed to be accessible to all segments of the community. So in terms of finding compliance, I'm excited to know that there's some consideration around accessibility, and if there, we're not entirely sure where we're at with that, but if there's some need for additional ADA services or accessible services, it seems worth considering that. It seems like there a lot more needs to be done on this project to determine what parts of this project should be moved forward with and in what fashion or way, but all of that, as has been mentioned, would happen in the EIR process and the design process. It seems to me, at least with the accessibility component and the fire lanes fire lines, those seem to be areas that are worth potentially looking into. The parking, I'm hearing so many mixed things. I thought Audubon did some nice job of refuting some of the parking need in here. But again, I think no parking expansion might be something considered in the EIR as an alternative. Is that correct?
Delivering the message mm-hmm. on the project concepts, and we don't have all the staff here, okay. including and you're going to need the staff assigned to this project to come right. back and give mm-hmm. you a full report. Yeah. I don't want to answer any of your questions yeah. incorrectly. Yeah. In addition, mm-hmm. I believe other department, there's multiple departments involved mm-hmm. here, and the city council, I think, has provided input at one point. So
why don't we wait till we have a project before we start discussing the project?
Well,
we have a concept right now. We don't really have a...
Sure, but just clarifying the process. In an EIR, you always have to have a no project option, right? Which would include the no parking, which would address the concerns, and that would be evaluated at the next stage. Right. But just clarifying that no project or no parking lot expansion would be an option in the EIR that would be evaluated. Right. I think
that's
was all
part
I was
of
looking
the
for.
State law, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Chair Fuller, Commissioner Maynard. You're right. If as we go through our project development process and go through those steps, we'll determine and evaluate if an EIR is the correct route. Those steps will go, and whatever the route is for environmental that is sufficient and necessary is what we'll do per law and per requirements per CEQA.
And I hope we'll be able to continue to rely on the Audubon Society to weigh in on it. So,
looking forward to it.
Right. Thank you. Commissioner Miller. Smith. Thank you.
Thank you. I've had more time to consider the matter, and we're looking at this a second time. I think it was back in January that we had first heard about this, and we knew that we'd be coming back in May or June and taking a second look. I'm with the information that we have before us today, I'm not completely convinced of conformance with the, even in concept, as it relates to the conservation element. But I think in terms of the other aspects of the list, I could find conformance. But I don't see listed here that staff is saying yes, we're compliant. It's not listed that the conservation element as part of the compliance, where we have competing policies or intersecting policies at play. I mean, I think certainly, we all understand that park improvements or, these infrastructure improvements are a general part of what we do as a city. But the unique aspect of this location is its location in an ESHA. And our general plan is extremely cautious when it comes to ESHA space. Now that I've had more time to consider and think about this, I'm not certain I can find conformity for that piece without additional information about the concept.
Commissioner Miller.
Yes. I generally share Commissioner Smith's concerns, although I note that by approving the CIP this evening, if we do that, we're not taking a position on policy CE8 and CE8.4 as identified in the Audubon Society letter on page one. In other words, we're not deeming that the project satisfies general plan conformance in those two areas. All we're doing is saying it conceptually satisfies, I don't have the two in front of me, PF2 and PF8, I believe. So with that understanding and the additional colloquy and discussion we've had this evening, I would support the motion, which is not yet before us.
If I may respond.
Yeah. Commissioner yeah. Smith.
I actually don't think that's what we're doing tonight, even though staff has called out certain aspects of the plan to guide us, to guide the public, to help us understand their review process. My understanding of the findings that we make tonight is that we're saying broadly that these projects are consistent with our general plan as a whole. Is that correct in my understanding?
If I could clarify.
Yes, please.
And maybe make it a little bit easier for you. For us as staff to come back and bring the public and to bring you a project and alternatives and different concepts and different needs and have that conversation with the public, what is needed there? What isn't needed there? Are there nests there? For us to have a robust discussion, we need to have a CIP, and then we can allocate staff to it. And that is what entitles us. And then the other catches along the line redefine that line and that project. CEQA, for example, permits, for example, other agencies. We're not the only agency that has responsibility to nests. There's the Fish and Wildlife Service and other agencies. And that, not to diminish the public comment we received tonight, because it was, as you said, it was amazing, and with a time investment that is reflective of the time investment that we put into our general plan and all the policies that protect ESHA. So I think we're touching on something that's important to everybody in this room, and that's what the process does to catch us along the way. But in order for the process to really officially launch, legitimately launch, so that we can start having that more robust discussion, the staff here, we need the authority. And then we can even perhaps get grants to cover some of staff time, for example, on some of these projects. But we can't get the grant funding, for example, if we don't have a project in our capital improvement program. So it's, you know, we're in a little bit in a gray area. It's not gray where it says we need more parks and we need more amenities and we need to be able to improve our parks. Exactly how that looks, that's the discussion that we would like to have with you.
Yeah, Commissioner Miller, please.
And having heard those comments from Ms. Wells, I would add that I think those who will be working on the project will hear, if they haven't already heard, the concerns we have. And so I would expect to see any project that does come before us to have addressed those concerns and to satisfy them.
And so if we were to remove this from the CIP list, we would essentially be saying that we do not want any improvements at that park at all at this time. Would that be more or less what removing it would be doing?
Theoretically, yes, because we're not saying a parking lot. It doesn't say a parking lot in here.
No, but what I'm saying is that we're...
Yeah, you're saying...
We don't want any improvements.
You're saying it's not... You're saying that improvements at this park are not in conformance with the general plan. And so we might try again next year and come back and say, hey, we think maybe something differently, or we would take your... Yeah.
We still need... You might come back and say we still need improvements.
Or perhaps they would not do any improvements.
Right.
Unless there was...
They won't do any improvements unless we find them in conformance with the general plan. I mean, and they're not on this list. I mean, if they're not on this list, then they won't be making improvements at the park. Is that...
That's right.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, you're foreclosing the possibility of improvements, at least at this time, at the park. So it's, you know, I mean, that's a choice you're making, whether you want to take it off or not. Is that correct? Yes. Commissioner Lynn, please.
Just to move. Just to move this along, is it possible? Again, we kind of struggled with this before at the Parks and Recreation Commission because of that eucalyptus grove. Is it possible to say that this project can go forward but not to include the ESHA? No, can't do that? Because I had a real problem with putting the bathroom in there, too. It was like, I just thought this just was...
So I
don't know. I was just really... I know we're not trying to design it, but definitely that is not in conformance.
I want to help you with this because this conversation we're having is, in a way, preempting the conversation with the public. Like, so what do you need? What do you want? Mm-hmm. What do we need to protect? Because there might be more to protect than not just the butterfly nest, or sorry, the raptor nest. There may be other things, other historic elements that the public wants, and to have that conversation. So, in my opinion, humble opinion, putting it in the CIP, especially with this conversation that we're having right now, and including the public comment letter that we received from Audubon, I think that launches a bigger discussion about La Patera Park alone, and that perhaps through that we will have more awareness and then potentially better ways to improve the park or even just let people be aware of what all the resources are, because I think there are other touch points on the park that people have comments on. ADA access, bathrooms or no bathrooms. I mean, these are a lot of really good discussions that we're having right here that could be broadened.
Chair and commissioners, if I may jump in and come back to Commissioner Lynn's question and comment. I don't think that the commission at this point has the ability to condition particular projects or limit them in scope, and it would be premature to do that, as we've discussed. There will be an opportunity to very specifically condition projects like this one later on when they come back through the process individually. So I think this may be an up or down kind of a motion, and I'd rely on our assistant city attorney to advise you as to what the range of options you have here in terms of your action is, mm-hmm. if you don't simply wish to determine conformity.
So Director Imhoff is correct. You
either approve the list or you not approve the list in conformance. But I would like to say, I would like to echo Ms. Wells's statements earlier that you're really just approving the list. You're not approving a certain design, a certain scope of any project. You're basically saying improvements at this area is in conformity with the general plan.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Miller.
I'm prepared to make a motion.
All right.
I would like to move that we approve the general plan conformance findings for the capital improvement program fiscal year 2018-2019.
Do we have a second? I'll second it. Discussion.
So one more question of staff for a second. Where did the motivation for this project come? So did we hear from the community a high importance of making improvements at La Patera?
Chair Fuller, Commissioner Maynard, this is a project that I believe has come from council in discussion with the city manager and our previous public works director. It is, again, primarily a fire line and restroom and other improvements such as potential parking lot. So I know there has been strong direction from council. It's in the current budget, so you've already approved this as in conformance last year. And so we'd have to go back to city manager and council and take it out of the budget, I think, going forward. So it's really come from them in terms of the needs with the previous director. And if I may, our new director, Public Works Director Charlie Ebling, is here and has heard all of your concerns and has heard the Audubon's concerns, and I gave him the letter earlier. So the project manager who has been working on or will be working on in the future will hear those concerns. And again, any design components that will go into this project and come back will be, you know, presented before you again, it sounds like, and there'll be opportunity to weigh in on the design as opposed to just the high level list that we're talking about today. So hopefully that answers your question and where it came from.
Any other discussion or questions? I guess we're ready for the question. All in favor, say aye. We'll do it individually. So Commissioner Maynard.
Sure. Thank you for allowing us to go individually. I wanted to say a few comments with my vote. I think it's really important that this does come back to Planning Commission, even if it's only for feedback and advice and not a decision. So I'd like to see that happen. And I would also like to see a broad community feedback process, much like we've had with some of the other park projects. I know we're not allowed to condition it, so this is just a commentary. But I really liked what Ms. Wells had said about if we are going to be looking at the Patera project, giving an opportunity for folks in the community to identify other needs that might not be in the original design that we've talked about today, such as protecting other components of the ESHA. So I think there's keeping that public feedback process broad enough to engage other concerns and ideas about about the La Patera space, as well as what is maybe originally envisioned here. Definitely would love to see a lot of the suggestions of the Audubon Society worked into future projects, but I do understand that much of that will occur with the EIR process. So I'm comfortable moving forward and voting to support the capital improvement program with understanding that I think the fire lines and the accessibility components do fit into the general standards of public facilities, and that this is a conversation worth having. I don't know that the project is something we should pursue, but the EIR process the EIR process will determine whether it should be built in the end, but I think the CIP allows us to engage the public in the conversation we need to have. So I support the CIP and I support the motion.
So that's an aye.
It's an aye.
Yeah. Thank you. Commissioner Smith.
I'm a no, just as it, but my only objection is as related to this project and not the rest of the list.
Commissioner Lynn.
I'm going to say aye, too, but like I said, I really have some strong feelings about the...
And I hope we have the opportunity to...
park.
Yes, have them fully vetted here. Commissioner Miller?
Aye.
And I vote aye, so that the motion passes. Thank you. Will the clerk read agenda item C?
Item C is the director's report.
Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. I have a couple of things to report. First off, I think we all attended the Coastal Housing Coalition Housing Conference on Friday. Mm-hmm. I personally found it very valuable and interesting, thought-provoking. I hope that others did as well. And I was very happy that we all at least had the opportunity to participate in that. Coming up next week, you did hear a little bit about the Kellogg Hollister Park as our one project under construction. And next Tuesday at 4:30 in the afternoon, there will be a groundbreaking ceremony at the Kellogg Hollister Park to which you're all invited. I plan on attending. This is a very exciting project for the city and one that a lot of work has been put into to get to this point. Then coming up on Monday, June 4th, we have a Star Communities workshop here in the chambers beginning at 1 in the afternoon. The city of Goleta has been recognized as having a three-star sustainability rating, and this will be a follow-on workshop, a visioning workshop to think about the future of the city and its sustainability and how we move forward to enhance sustainability goals. If you're interested, please email me, and we'd like to get you on the list if you'd like to participate. There will be a range of participants from the community, from a range of different groups and staff as well participating in that. On June 5th, the following Tuesday, we expect the first reading of the ADU ordinance, which this commission recommended to the council. So stay tuned for that. I'm excited to see how the commission's recommendation moves forward and what council has to say about the ADU ordinance. Then on June 11th, we anticipate bringing the draft cannabis ordinance to you for recommendation to council. We had originally hoped to bring that tonight, but there were delays which caused us to move that forward in June. In advance of that meeting, we hope to schedule, for those who are interested, site visits of cannabis businesses. So if you haven't been contacted already, be on the lookout for contacts probably from Wendy Winkler, our executive assistant in the planning department, to gauge your interest and availability to participate. We also have another major project which we anticipate bringing forward to you in June, the Heritage Ridge Project, which we anticipate at this point bringing to you on June 25th, and we will endeavor to release the staff report and the final EIR well in advance of that hearing so you have time to consider it. And that concludes my report.
Commissioner Miller.
I have just one question, or I guess it's really more of a request. As to the cannabis ordinance, we were here from 6 o'clock to 10:30 one evening, I think it was. And we had a very, I thought, very productive session where we went through 25 questions and we asked each and every member of the city council and the planning commission to weigh in. I didn't take notes on those votes, and I'd kind of like to know how I voted on all those items as it comes up before us again. So I think there's a record of that. If we had some way of obtaining that ahead of the meeting, I think that would be very useful, and to know how the votes came out on each of those issues.
Yes, Chair and Commissioner Miller, we will be doing a dust-up or roundup of that meeting, and you'll see as an attachment to your staff report will be a matrix that shows how the different participants in that plenary session came down on different issues. So we will very clearly lay that out. I personally thought that was an extremely well-functioning hearing, which we managed managed to move through a lot of material very efficiently, but I think it is very important for the commission and the council to understand where you came down and, in effect, what you're buying, you know, and where you know how this all shakes down. So we'll certainly give you that summary as we bring this back.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, Commissioner Maynard?
I also got to go to the housing conference last Friday and thoroughly enjoyed it. A couple of things that came up at the housing conference that I just wanted to share. One is that I got an opportunity to talk to Senator Wiener about the kitchen facilities component that we've had a lot of debate about. He was actually a little bit surprised at some of the reaction that we had gotten from the state staff around not being able to add language defining kitchen facilities a little bit more. And he invited me to reach out to him and his staff about the question that we had raised about what's the minimal kitchen facility and efficiency unit. And he was very interested in that topic and learning more about that. So there may be an interpretation piece here that I wanted to flag for our future ADU conversations. The second, I got to go to a session around restrictive housing, and I learned a lot about even sometimes restricting housing to residents in a certain part of the city, or restricting housing even to say work for, the only to firefighters, for example, can have implications for fair labor laws and also discrimination practices. And I thought there was a really good discussion on that that was really worth following and paying attention to, and I think that'll affect how I look at some of these projects in the future. And my last comment, sort of last takeaway from that housing conference was we had an interesting presentation by a fellow from the Oakland area doing very small efficiency units, not in the ADU sense, but just in a smaller footprint apartment scale. And one statistic that really jumped out at me, it was 40% less space, but 25% less cost. And that was sort of interesting. I worry a bit as we try to squeeze these apartments down, how much livability are we losing, and are we really getting affordability for it? And we get some mixed answers from looking at our friends up in Oakland and seeing what they've been up to. And the other piece I'll note is that they said most of those really condensed affordable housing units were really being filled by folks in their 30s that are single. And so really thinking about what this means as we think about our RENA numbers and ADUs, as we think about what sort of affordable housing we're building in our communities. I think some of the planning commissioners in the past have said, you know, it's really important we have diversity in these, not just in income level, but also in making sure we have affordable units that are available for families. So that's something that I took away from the housing conference. And I wanted to be able to share that. I can't have side conversations outside of here. So I thank you for letting me have some time at the dais to just mention some of those takeaways.
Sounds like a good lead into comments from commissioners. Anybody else? Anybody else have a comment? Right. So I want to say I was at the conference also, and found it very interesting and valuable to hear all the perspectives and information that was presented. So thank the city for that. With that, I will declare the meeting adjourned.
We don't have to do a motion.
Oh, secret of the plot.
You have dictatorial.
Is just to tell them that I love you.